Jesus said, "All authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me." And that is the scripture that is on the front of your bulletin. Thank you, Roxanne. But who gave this authority to Jesus? Because it did say that it was given. In John 3:35, it says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things unto his hand." And in John 13:3, it says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God, was going back to God." Ephesians 1:20-21 says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only this age, but also in the one to come. Oh, isn't that true? Jesus' name is above all names. And Jesus says in John 17:2, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all you have given." To all whom you have given him. But didn't Jesus already have authority? I mean, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. Doesn't that sound like that Jesus always had the authority? So what was given? Jesus is the second part of the Trinity from the beginning. And then God's beautiful plan is ushered in as Jesus was humbly born in Bethlehem. The second person of the Trinity was clothed with humanity. And he was fully God and fully man. And he had to accomplish a sinless life, atonement for sin, resurrection from the dead, and ascension to the right hand of the Father. And while Jesus possessed all divine authority from eternity, after his resurrection, his authority over all of creation and death and the powers of darkness was universally established. He defeated the power of the grave. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Having humbled himself to die as a human, he was exalted to the right hand of God, officially taking his royal place above all earthly and spiritual leaders. I mean, when we think about how much authority Jesus has, it's a little overwhelming. I mean, he's the creator of the universe, and he sustains the universe, and he sustains the natural world. He knows the smallest bird. Those little hummingbirds that come and look at Dan's bird feeder. He knows those hummingbirds. But he also commands the wind and the water. And he can calm the most powerful of storms. He has the power over Satan. Mark 1:27 says, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus has the authority over governments. He has the authority over disease. He can heal the sick. He has the authority of salvation of new believers. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler and his disciples ask him, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus' answer was, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Remember that story? Jesus has triumphed over death, and death cannot separate us from the love of God. And Jesus has authority in his mission of getting the gospel to all the nations. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And yet the Bible tells us that some people want to challenge his authority. In Matthew 21, it says, when he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Now, this is interesting. Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will give you by what authority I do these things. And so his question was, the baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? And so these men who were asking this of Jesus, they stood and they discussed it amongst themselves. And they said, if we say it's from heaven, then he will say to us, well, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from man, then we're kind of afraid of the crowd, because they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you the authority that I do these things. You see, the Pharisees would have accused him of blasphemy if he said his power came from God. So Jesus would ask them a question to reveal their real motives. They didn't really want an answer to their question, did they? Nope. They wanted to trap him. And Jesus showed the Pharisees wanted the truth only if it supported their own views and causes. And sometimes we want the truth, but sometimes we want the truth that lines up with our own issues, with what we want. Are there any ways that we challenge Jesus' authority today? And of course, we all want to say, no, we don't challenge Jesus' authority. But what about when God says, you cannot have any false gods before him? And we say, okay, I'll give up this, I'll give up that. Oh, but there's that one thing. No, I'm not giving up that one thing. I need that. I want that. That's important to my life. I'm not giving that up. Or how about when God calls a person home to heaven, someone we love, and we think that God made a mistake because it was not in our timing? I'm not proud of it, but I've thought that before. When my dad died, I'm like, oh, this is surely a mistake. It wasn't his time. Who is it of me to say when his time was or not? It's God's authority. Or how about when a preacher preaches something contrary to the Bible because he thinks that he knows better than God? Oh, we don't know better than God. We all have to position ourselves under Jesus' authority. And that takes faith and humility. We have to have faith that Jesus is in control and that he knows what he is doing. He doesn't ask us how to rule the universe. He does not. And yet, he is there for each one of us personally. That is a big God. Now let's go back to the church for a second. What authority does Jesus give his church leaders? He grants his church leaders delegated spiritual authority to make disciples, to teach, to exercise church discipline, and to give spiritual protection. Leaders have the responsibility to teach the gospel and to build up, to bring up others who can go and do the same. Right? Pastors are tasked with the shepherding of the flock and guarding against false doctrine. And members are called to submit to faithful leadership. But God's authority is ultimate. A pastor's authority is delegated and limited to the Word of God. It is limited. In 1 Peter 5:2, here Peter writes, "As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example." So Jesus is the head of the church. He is the chief shepherd. The church belongs to Christ. The pastor holds an office similar to a steward. So a steward was responsible for managing the estate while the Lord was gone, the Lord of the estate. And while our Lord readies to return, the pastor is commissioned to faithfully steward the house of the God that it might be found ready at his coming. That's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be ready. And we talked about that the other day when we talked about the 10 virgins and the lamp stands and the oil, and that we're all supposed to be ready, right? The preacher is called to interpret and proclaim scripture with sympathy, compassion, and humility, but also with the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I say also, actually, most importantly, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. He is challenged to present biblical truth for people to hear, to believe, and to obey God's word. The pastor is not a mediator between God and man. The pastor is also just a member of Christ's church. And a pastor is accountable to God for what they do. And so this brings me back to Jeanette and her plea to pray for pastors. Pray for your own pastor. Pray that I am not deceived, that I don't teach false doctrine, that I am limited by the Word of God. Pray for the pastors in our community. So many beautiful churches in this community. Let's pray for those pastors. Many of them are new. There was a time where there was not very many pastors in Haywarden. And so we continue to pray for all of them. And pray for the leaders in Christ's church around the world that they stay true to Christ's mission until he returns. And this week, I want you to think about ways you are submitted under Christ's authority, and ways that you are not. Are there areas where Jesus has your obedience, but you do it grudgingly? Ooh, that's a whole thing about the position of our heart. So let me give you an example. Now, this wouldn't be any of you, but just an example. I will be obedient in giving my tithes, but I will be unhappy about it. I will volunteer out of obligation, but not out of love. And today I thanked a lot of people, and I probably missed people. It wasn't an all-inclusive list. But the one thing I notice about people here is that they volunteer their time with a lot of love and a lot of joy. And that makes me happy. We all want to surrender, we all have to surrender everything under Christ's authority. And so to close today, I want us to sing one song, and then we can be done. And it's I Surrender All. And you can bring that up, Lance.